Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey there, Dave. Nice to be with you again.
Well, it wouldn't be a Super Bowl report day if there wasn't some little curve thrown at us.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the USDA has had this tendency to balance their numbers out in the feed grains. And fortunately, this month, unlike December, the trade does not have the ability to say, well, just wait until the January report comes out. And I think we're maybe going back and readdressing some of those issues with this low carryover number domestically for corn, the 150 million bushel increase in total demand, and the idea that the grain stocks, the corn stocks report, although for corn was 30% higher than last year, it's about a billion bushels less than the highest trade estimate. And so these things, I think, work most favorably into the cash corn dynamics, and we'll have to see whether the corn futures can bring back the technical support. A lot of that will depend on how the wheat and the beans shake out here going into the close.
And we are keeping a close eye on that on the March corn. I would think something above 435 would be very positive if you were a corn bull.
Yeah, the 50-day moving average is right around that 436 level. 435 would clear a lot of congestion on a closing basis from the last 3 weeks. We have not been above the 50-day moving average, Dave, on the March corn chart since the highs back in August. So this would be, if we could clear that 435 level and clear that 50-day moving average, this would be, I think, technically a step definitely in the right direction, especially with the wheat trying to pull the corn back down on some spreading.
So that is the corn-wheat picture. What do we see in the soybeans?
I think soybeans, like we talked about this morning, we needed to feed the bull. In other words, we rallied going into the report. We took the January meal up to levels not seen since right around Christmas time. The July Nov bean spread went to 150, which was a new contract high on my charts. And I think that's where the report probably needed to feed the bull. I would say right now we did not do that. I think that the carryover of 150 is pretty much priced in. I didn't see anything shocking as far as the supply side on the grain stocks report. Beans came in at just around 2.15 billion bushels, very near the trade estimates, and up versus last year by about 20 million bushels. The other thing I think is the ending stocks globally did go up thanks to South America. And I think the trend in the trade is going to be that the South American supply, especially the Brazilian supply, is going to get bigger, not smaller. And so I think the trade will maybe be a little bit more let down in the beans than they were the corn in respect to how we were trading the price action before the numbers came out.
So could it be that today's price action in the soybeans, and I was looking primarily at the March, equates to a blow-off top to something that begins to trend lower?
That may be, but I think we'll have to wait for the January to go off the board. That's certainly something on the radar screen right now, and I am respectful of the bull spread. When the bull spread has been acting like this, it certainly is indicative of not having to press sales in new crop because you've got the front end leading you. But I think in 2013, we need to continue to think about what happened in wheat and corn, where the inversion was ripped out of the market and we went back to a carrying charge, essentially when the September corn went off the board. Remember that infamous day or week during the Farm Progress Show when we were talking about tipping back of ears and we were talking about the Western Corn Belt, and all of a sudden the USDA came out with great big numbers, and all of a sudden the September corn went out. July corn went out really rough. September went off even rougher, and all of a sudden we saw the spreads collapse, and we went back to a carrying charge. I think we have to be prepared for that in the beans if South America continues to come on, and we have to be prepared for the Chinese to continue to look to maybe cancel if they see that prices may be heading lower.
I want to go back to that corn 1.631 ending stock number and ask you, could it be that USDA, you mentioned the adjusting of books, is actually adjusting from over a year ago when we were looking at 300 million bushels and we couldn't figure out where it went?
I don't think that yet, because we don't have that in the numbers. The grain stocks number didn't say that to us blatantly, Dave, and we did get a pretty substantial yield decline in today's report. We went from 160.4 down to 158.8, and we did see a little bit of a trimming, 3 million bushels on old crop beginning stocks for this year, old crop ending stocks last year. And I think the most important thing is we did see a big jump in feed and residual and an increase of 50 million in the ethanol. So I would say these are fairly fresh numbers. But I go back and I hear what you're saying. When they took the beginning stocks up in the November report by something like 12 or 15 million metric tons and really pushed us above 150 million tons for global corn ending stocks, that's still something that really rubs me the wrong way, mm-hmm. because I wonder if those stocks and those supplies are really out there right now.
So what does a hedger do with these numbers?
Well, I think the big thing is this is better for cash corn fundamentals than it is corn futures, mm-hmm. as long as wheat continues to be a negative force on the futures market. So technicals need to come around. We need to find a wheat low. I think the winter wheat seedings number being much, much lower for soft red winter wheat than the analyst projections may provide a little bit of support to the wheat down the road here in the not-too-distant future. But my advice and recommendations and counsel to clients and subscribers since the report came out is stay on the same path until we get a technical break to the upside. Keep your corn puts on. Do not hedge your cash. And watch that basis, because this may be the time where if the futures does bottom, we'll want to lock the basis in. So next week's end-user business is going to be really important to see whether they bid up and keep the basis the same or whether they try and soften the basis on a futures rally.
And very, very quickly, we were seeing quick ships because shipment premiums because of the weather. Does the market now allow those shipment quick ships to stay in place longer?
I think they need to, Dave, from a standpoint that the South American weather and the export demand that we've seen before the holidays should be more relevant and more dynamic to the corn market and the end user now.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Talk to you later.
That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics.